Although our sins testify against us, do something, Lord, for the sake of your name. For we have often rebelled, we have sinned against you, you who are the hope of Israel, its saviour in times of distress. Why are you like a stranger in the land, like a traveller who stays only a night? Why are you like a man taken by surprise, like a warrior powerless to save? You are among us, Lord, and we bear your name. Do not forsake us. This is what the Lord says about this people. They greatly love to wander. They do not restrain their feet, so the Lord does not accept them. He will now remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. Going on to verse 19. Have you rejected Judah completely? Do you despise Zion? Why have you afflicted us so that we cannot be healed? We hope for peace, but no good has come for a time of healing, but there is only terror. We acknowledge our wickedness, Lord, and the guilt of our ancestors, and we have indeed sinned against you. For the sake of your name, do not despise us. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember your covenant with us and do not break it. Do any of the worthless idols of the nations bring rain? Do the skies themselves send down showers? No, it is you, Lord, our God. Therefore, our hope is in you, for you are the one who does all this. Now, we're going on to Psalm 84, and Pat wanted it interactive. So I'm suggesting that we haven't got it marked. I will do the odd verses, like the 1 and the 3, etc., and you will respond with the even ones, and we're doing the whole psalm. So hopefully that will be okay. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. Congregation now. Yeah. Oh, right. Psalm 84.
My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God.
Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. Psalm 84 in here. Yes. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage.
As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools.
They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Verse 8 now. Yeah, we're going straight through. Yeah.
Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob.
Look on our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell
For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless.
Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you.
Now Sheila's going to read from me. I'll sit down. Thank you.
The New Testament reading is from Luke, chapter 18, verses 9-14. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like tax collectors. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
The song was, I'd taken it from Singing the Faith, and that was how it was set out. And I don't think it was quite as clear in your readings as Doreen told me you didn't have the Singing the Faith. So you wouldn't have seen it as I saw it. But thank you very much. I wanted you to have part of it and for you to be part of the service in this way. I thought all the readings were relative to what I wanted to say. But I wondered that how you thought God sees his world today. I don't know about you, but I feel pretty desperate when I see the news on television or I read it in the papers. It seems to be nothing but doom and gloom. Not much hope. No, is it on? Can you hear me? Yes. Oh, I'm rattling it. Keep your hands to yourself. It seems to be nothing but doom and gloom with not much hope of improvement as the years go by. We always hope that it will be better next year, perhaps, or we hope that there will be some hope. But the way nations and people behave and treat others in their communities with leaders seeming to be coming forward who always want the more and more power and land and for the worst possible reasons, it makes one desperate to read the papers. I feel quite depressed when I've read about what's happening, not just, and that's an understatement, I think.
And it's because your necklace is touching the...
Take the necklace off, then.
It's all right. We'll
put it inside.
Yeah.
Sorry about all that.
There you are.
And I will try not to fiddle. Right then. Well, I'm just saying how desperate I feel about the world. And I'm sure you all agree with me. You wonder when, if ever, it will change and what God thinks about it from where he is. His beautiful world that he made. And how. Always there have been troubles, conflict. And we wondered how long this last war between Russia and the Ukraine would last. We didn't think it would ever last as long as this. And I think when it comes to all the various natural disasters, particularly now we're going very seriously, I'm glad to say, into climate, into the climate change, which is happening far more quickly than it ever was thought would happen. But that, I suppose, is a pessimistic look. Because in Jersey, if you look around, although we know there is a lot of poverty, apparently there is poverty, there is cost of living. There are all the things, the many things that we read about again that are negative in the papers. There's always a good response when asked for an appeal of any sort. And you only have to look into the JP. You only have to look at the JP to see how people are so very generous, and the number of charities in the island. It seems to some of us we cannot understand how our island has got into this state. We know, possibly we like to blame the states, but in fact we're all to blame, I suppose, in our own individual lives. Well, today we're looking at a parable that Jesus told about someone who was confident of their own righteousness, and they looked down on everybody else. It's a familiar story about a Pharisee and a tax collector, both of whom went to pray. The Pharisee didn't go to pray to God. He went to pray to himself. His prayer seemed to consist simply in telling God all about his good points. But true prayer is always offered to God and to God alone. The Jewish law prescribed only one obligatory fast, that on the Day of Atonement. But those who gained special merit also fasted on Mondays and Thursdays. And it's worth noting that on these days were market days, so that Jerusalem was full of country people who would be seeing these Pharisees all dressed up in their untidy, they've whitened their faces and dressed in a very untidy, disheveled way. The Pharisee, he said, tithed everything, even things which about which there was no obligation to tithe. The tax collector, on the other hand, stood a fair distance away and didn't even lift his eyes up to him. He confessed that he was a sinner and prayed that God would be merciful to him. He knows that he's the one with a little faith and sees through the great heart of God. Faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, and he casts himself on the divine mercy of God. This parable, and the ones before it in that particular order in the Bible, make it a powerful statement about what in Paul's language is called justification by faith. It also tells us that no one who is proud can pray. William Barclay says, the gate of heaven is so low that no one can enter it save on his knees. No one who despises his fellow men can pray. In prayer, we do not or should not lift ourselves above our fellow men. This is William Barclay, of course. In prayer, we remember we are one of a great army of sinning, sorrowing, suffering humanity, kneeling before the throne of God's mercy. True prayer comes from setting our lives beside the life of God. No doubt all that the Pharisee said was true. He did give tithes. He was not as other men were, still less like the tax collector. But the question was not, am I as good as my fellow man, but am I as good as God? Jeremiah the prophet, as we heard in our reading, says that the heart of the problem is that God's people have lost sight of and therefore have ceased to be in a right relationship with God. Yet God is still with his people. Everywhere I read those three lessons, it was brought back to me. The people have sinned, but God is still with them. Jeremiah asks God to remember his covenant and challenges the complacency of the people. It is surely a message we need to hear today. Paul, writing to Timothy, says that once again it is all about confidence during difficult times. Once again, it's all about faith, not as a pious hope, but as a way of living in the confidence that tomorrow will be as God promised. This pastoral letter from Paul to Timothy, which was another suggested reading for today, was a time when he was imprisoned in Rome and expecting any time to be executed. He is feeling, Paul, is feeling isolated and vulnerable. Friends and colleagues have abandoned him. He knows what his death is likely to be. And when the situation appeared so grim, and despite all that has happened, he continued to express his hope and faith in God, who has stood by him and given him strength. Earlier, he has proudly declared that he has fought a good fight, he has finished the race, and has kept the faith. There's no doubt that he had experienced many more serious incidents than others have coped with, and details some of the traumas and difficulties he has faced, including shipwreck, stoning, and flogging, and now, of course, imprisonment. But he did say that in his imprisonment, he has been able to do good and be able to convert most of the people in the house he was imprisoned in. So there was good coming out of this one particular tragedy. It could have been easy for him to doubt whether God had abandoned him. But his faith endured and has remained as strong as ever. Perhaps because Paul has survived it all so far, saying the Lord will rescue him from every evil attack. He has also been buoyed up by the thoughts of support arriving from friends such as Timothy and Mark. When we have been through difficult times, the support and encouragement, we will all agree, can make all the difference. And there are many who have not had this contact with others. So there may be those that we can look out for, that they may say, the Lord stood by me, and have that experience for themselves. I heard somebody say to me this morning, there are others who have no one. There are people with no one. And if we were looking out for them, perhaps we may be able to give them a phone call to cheer them up, or send an email, or arrange to meet them, which will make all the difference. Because faith is living today in the certainty that God keeps his promises and is with us always. Based, as Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, that every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Righteousness is not a matter of hard work or personal achievement. Righteousness is about God and our relationship with him. The righteous tax collector knows he is utterly dependent on God, whereas the Pharisee isn't all about himself. He is self-righteous. Faith is not an activity we undertake. Faith is the ability to live with God despite our limitations. This is a modern parable. We begin by feeling comfortable, thinking that we can see what is coming. But somehow the story reverses our expectations, yet it all makes sense. And as a result, we are required to consider ourselves and where we stand in our relationship with God. So what can we do to grow in confidence with God? Do we trust ourselves to achieve whatever we understand as being righteous? Do we know what it means? Can we judge whether we are righteous or not? How do people manage to become righteous? By acknowledging our mistakes and failures and confessing to God, asking for forgiveness and working hard at it, knowing that we can only succeed if we truly trust and have faith that he will help us in our efforts to do his will and walk in his way, as Paul did to the very end. Amen. And a prayer. God, who forgives all who are genuinely sorry, cleanse our hearts and make us new. We cherish your grace, giving us a fresh, new slate. May the words we write upon it be honoring to your name. Amen.